Little girls made the maker. The maker made the man. Man made the problem kid to claim it by his hand. And the apple picking young ones, Caesar having been packed away, run from the flies and locusts with fax machines that come their way. Cause there are problem kids playing in the big time show. Yes, there are problem kids running the big time. They make it hard to get to know the big time show. Like the dealers out of the donut shop with their caked scabies hands, they oil the machinery. They rob the hourglass of sand. And their partners, they are making legal pills to make you nod, sanity elixirs. They'll call them the body of God.
Hello, friends. This is Blaise Bonpain, and welcome to World Focus. There are more reasons to invade England than there are to invade Iraq. England has a long imperial history and could decide to rule the waves again as it did in the past. England has weapons of mass destruction. England has a queen. And speaking of mass destruction, perhaps we should compare and contrast the behavior of the Third Reich and the current unelected rogue administration in the United States. The Third Reich alleged to have a master race and had a policy of outright racism against people of Jewish origin, homosexuals, gypsies, and anyone who objected to their fanatical policies. The unelected Bush administration has threatened some 60 countries since 9/11 and is blatantly fostering a policy of first-strike nuclear war against any nation it should choose. He calls it preemptive intervention, and it applies anywhere on Earth. A single Trident submarine can eliminate as many as 55 million people. This is many times over the destructive capacity of the ovens of the Third Reich. Ariel Sharon gave the impression that he was giving orders when he told Bush to speed up plans to attack Iraq. And just what nation does Richard Pearl represent? Surely not the people of the United States. Both he and Mr. Wolfowitz seem to be ambassadors of Mr. Sharon. Do they have any regard for the U.S. citizens who are about to be sacrificed to the gods of metal? The closest allies of the United States are horrified by the avalanche of warmongering and jingoism that has become the daily fare of the media of the United States. Gerald Kaufman, the highly respected former foreign affairs spokesman of Britain, Britain's ruling party, said, quote, "Bush himself, the most intellectually backward American president of my political lifetime, is surrounded by advisers whose bellicosity is exceeded only by their political, military, and diplomatic illiteracy," unquote. We don't need to inspect Iraq. International law needs to inspect every country on the planet to eliminate weapons of mass destruction. Who do you think has the largest number of weapons of mass destruction? We do. Who is most apt to use them? We are. Who will be killed by them? We will. Mr. Bush and his fundamentalist Armageddon seekers of the Christian far right are threatening the existence of the United States and are recklessly endangering the people of this country. We must demand that they cease and desist immediately. The campaign of Bush and Cheney to invade Iraq and create a U.S. oil protectorate has provoked a storm of outrage across Europe, the Mideast, and Asia, where people believe that pollution and climate change are a far bigger threat than Iraq, which is, by the way, a nation in ashes. The U.S. and Britain have been bombing that country ever since January of 1991. They have starved the children and fostered disease by attacking water facilities, electrical generating plants, together with a deadly embargo. The Republicans have smelled a rat in this unelected administration. Republican Senator Chuck Hagel suggested that if Richard Perle was so anxious to attack, he should join the first assault wave against Baghdad. Brent Scowcroft, former National Security Advisor to former President Bush, warned that an attack on Iraq would be a disastrous mistake. Republican former arms inspector Scott Ritter stated in congressional hearings last week, quote, "A handful of ideologues have hijacked the national security policy of the United States for their own ambitions," unquote. Ritter insisted that Iraq was totally disarmed and no threat to the U.S. or the Mideast. Ritter made it clear that Bush or the people handling him do not want renewed inspections of Iraq. They only want war. Bush and Cheney are also trying to cover their corrupt business dealings and to repay campaign promises to the military-industrial prison complex by sending in the cream of the crop of American youth to war. We must seek the impeachment of Bush and Cheney. We must go to the streets in peaceful and civilly disobedient demonstrations. The future of our nation and of our youth and of our neighbors is at stake. Why impeach these two? For high crimes and misdemeanors? They do not represent the people of the United States. They simply represent their own greed, their own ignorance, their own corruption, and their own addiction to power and violence. In 1998, Osama bin Laden outlined his strategy to provoke the United States into numerous and fruitless military ventures that would wear it out and bleed its military power. George Bush has fallen into the trap set for him. Afghanistan is costing U.S. taxpayers $5 billion a month. That's with a B. $5 billion a month. This alone eliminates funds needed for health care and education in the United States. Then what about Iran, Syria, Libya, and all the other nations on Pearl's hit list until the United States is completely tied down? All of this can be avoided by our becoming interdependent with the people of the world and utilizing the great body of international law which already exists, instead of continuing as a stupid rogue state run by stupid white men. But, friends, we must not waste our time cursing the darkness. We must organize. The Coalition for World Peace and KPFK invite you to join us to rally for justice and peace. A better world is possible. Sunday, September 8th, from 3 to 6 p.m. at MacArthur Park on Parkview Street in Los Angeles. The Reverend James Lawson and Attorney Steve Rohde and many others will be speaking. Sonali Kohatkar will MC. You can call 323-852-9808 for further information. We also invite you to gather with us every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Westside Federal Building, Wilshire and Veteran, to oppose any war on Iraq. And on September 11th at Palisades Park in Santa Monica near the pier on Ocean Avenue, there will be a silent peace vigil in respect for the dead and for each other as we witness together in the name of peace. And now for after some wonderful music, we want to speak about a nation that our country has picked on for 200 years. Yes, it is Haiti. And why did our founding fathers have such a hatred of Haiti? Because Haiti had the most effective slave revolt in the history of the world. And the fathers were terrified that it might spread to the United States. That's right, friends. We are talking about 56 years before the Civil War.
Playing in the big time show, when there are problem kids running the big time show, they make it hard to overthrow the big time show. This might be a worry, and worries might be bad, but the jails are getting taller, and the schools are getting had. Na 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 na. This might be a judgment, and judgment might be lame, but the gavel and the dollar should not be the same as in the big time. They make it hard to overthrow. Problem kids took over from sea to shining sea. You can still participate. Just call 900 democracy. And you can't see the public buses. They're all camouflaged with ads. Soon the problem kids will own the copyrights to being the land. When there are problem kids playing in the big time show, when there are problem kids playing in the big time show.
Now I am really privileged to introduce two people that are very much in touch with Haiti. In fact, very much a part of that great land. I'd like to introduce Pierre Labossière, co-founder of the Haiti Action Committee, a Bay Area network of activists who have supported the Haitian struggle for democracy since 1991. Hi, Pierre.
Hi, Blaise.
And also I'm privileged to have with us in the studio Bennett Guillory, who has worked extensively in theater, film, and television for 25 years. Ben won the San Francisco Critics Circle Award for his portrayal of Paul Robeson in a stage production, quote, "Are You Now or Have You Ever Been?" unquote. Ben is the producing artistic director of the award-winning Roby Theater Company, where he serves as chairman of the board of directors. Welcome, Ben. Very happy to have you here as well. And Pierre, I wonder if you could give us a little background of 1804 and why Haiti's position led to such tension with the United States.
Yes. When Christopher Columbus invaded the island in 1492, there were the original Arawaks, Native Americans there. And so from 1492 till about 15 years later, the population was pretty much decimated. And it was really reduced to, from about approximately 1 million to 60,000. And from 1503, at about 1503, that's when the first, our foremothers and forefathers from Africa, who had been kidnapped and brought in into slavery, arrived in, at that time, Haiti was named Santo Domingo, Hispaniola. And the name Haiti actually is the Arawak name, meaning land of mountains. And so during that period, from 1503 on, our people, our foremothers and forefathers were fighting for their freedom. And they fought with the many of the surviving Arawaks, and they joined their forces and fought against their enslavement. And by the 1700s, the French had taken over one-third of the island, the part that's present-day Haiti. And they brought in the plantation system, really, which was a very brutal system, I would say, type of a factory kind of agricultural intensive production. And the numbers of our African ancestors steadily increased. The plantation system was very brutal. Our people died in the Middle Passage. They died on the plantations, the tortures to keep them in line, to keep them producing. It was just an incredible system of dehumanization and destruction of human beings, of human lives. And so what the colonialists did at that time, the slave owners, they brought in people from different parts of West Africa, making sure to break up families, making sure that to break up people who are from the same region or spoke the same language or tribe, if you will, to minimize communication. And so that was the system. So by 1791, after many, many years, many attempts of many revolts had taken place, in 1791, August of 1791, there was a massive generalized uprising that took place. And this led to the beginning of a 13-year war of liberation that finally saw the birth of Haiti as a nation in 1804.
Thanks, Pierre. I appreciate so much that background. And this is where Ben Guillory comes in. You're coming in with a play that is dealing with that precise area of Toussaint and the background. Is this the second part of the play?
It is part two. It's part two of For the Love of Freedom. Last year, we mounted part one, Toussaint, the Soul, Rise, and Revolution, with our colleagues over at the Greenway Court Theater, the Greenway Arts Alliance, Pearson and Whitney. And we're doing part two this year. And thanks to colleagues like Pierre and Sammy Lay, the Haitian community was alerted here, and they supported us and to this day support us. Part two is about Jean-Jacques Dessalines. Who really brought the island to independence in 1802. And this is his story. Next year we'll do Henri Christophe, part three.
This play is going to start Friday and Saturday, September 6th and 7th?
Mm-hmm. Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays.
Now that's at the Gateway Court Theater.
Greenway.
Greenway Court Theater, right. 544 North Fairfax Avenue. And there's a phone number here, 323-655-4402. Mm-hmm. This is a wonder. This play is directed by Ben, and it has to do with the very beginnings of Haiti. Is it a personal reflection of the leadership of Haiti, or does it go more into the people? How is the play structured?
Well, it's structured to track the three leaders that emerged as the leaders of the Haitian Revolution, Toussaint, Dessalines, and Christophe. And we track their stories. Levy Lee Simon, the playwright, has done a wonderful job. And we've assisted the Roby Theater Company's Playwrights Laboratory has developed this piece and has devoted, 2 years thus far and another two. Because it culminates with the celebration of 2004 of the bicentennial of Haitian independence, which there'll be activities globally celebrating the independence of Haiti. What it's about? It's about these men, and it's a take on them. We're in theater, so there has been some artistic license, but the foundations of the stories are intact. Who these men were, how they emerged as leaders, what shaped them, and how Haiti as a French colony shaped these men. Toussaint, for instance, was actually an herbalist, a doctor, and emerged as the leader. He could read, he could write, which was very, very, very unusual. And because of that, he became a military strategist and fought the English, fought the French, fought the mulattoes, fought the Spanish, and won.
Friends, we're speaking to Ben Guillory, who's the director of the play Dessalines, which is going to begin Friday and Saturday, September 6th, 7th, and 8th. Mm. Please call the Greenway Court Theater if you're interested in attending at 323-655-4402. Pierre, I've got to ask you, what Jean-Bertrand Aristide is going through at this time? I mean, I have felt there's a near crucifixion of this man taking place. We never saw such an attack on Papa Doc or Baby Doc from this country. Why all the attacks on Jean-Bertrand?
You know, that's quite correct. And it's really so hypocritical that when Papa Doc and Baby Doc, and after Baby Doc fell, there were a number of military dictators who took over Haiti. Aid was flowing freely, even though the various aid agencies, financial institutions, knew actually comparing it to the period of 1804,
mm-hmm.
because the similarities are so glaring. And I want to say hats off to Ben and Lavilly Simon and the cast of actors, really, for putting this. I attended one of the readings. It's a marvelous, marvelous play, and I tell you, it
Thank
really
you, Pierre.
Me. But, you know, why we are comparing it to that period, after 1804, the independence, the U.S. led an economic boycott of Haiti that lasted for 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until after the end of the Civil War that Haiti was officially recognized by the U.S. and diplomatic relations were, you know, started. And the first ambassador to Haiti was Frederick Douglass. And even then, Frederick Douglass was up against some of the assignments or the design that the U.S. government had against Haiti at that time.
I'm speaking to Pierre Labossière, the co-founder of the Haiti Action Committee, a Bay Area network of activists. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt,
no,
Pierre.
That's fine. That's fine. And also, we are looking at this period, which is another period when our people, at the grassroots level, the masses of our people, have led a movement towards rebuilding the country to get rid of injustices. Because since our independence, there has been a ruling elite which has been in league with the slavocracy, the slave owners worldwide, the colonialist forces worldwide, and have kept our people in the most abject poverty, in the most degrading conditions. What is the Lavalas movement all about? It's a movement of the people at the bottom asking for a school in their counties, in their areas, asking for health care centers, asking for sources of potable water to eliminate diseases, asking for an end to these injustices that have kept them so poor and have made this little ruling elite so rich. These are the basic demands of Lavalas. This is the people's agenda. That's the platform that President Aristide was elected on. And now what we are seeing is that the people are being, there has been, since his election, there has been this policy put in place to deny Haiti the money, the financial assistance, even though those were already approved by the various financial institutions.
They're even asking for interest on money that Haiti has not received, I understand.
Precisely.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. It's criminal. And I want to say a big thank you to the Congressional Black Caucus, particularly Congresswoman Barbara Lee, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, for their very principled leadership on this issue and their statements of outrage.
And Ben Guillory is directing this play. You know, in 2001, the NAACP presented Mr. Guillory with the Best Director Award for his work for The Love of Freedom, Part 1, Toussaint. And now we're into Part 2, and I do hope that everyone will be able to see this play that is coming up at the Greenway Theater, Court Theater, at 544 North Fairfax Avenue, beginning Friday, September 6th and 7th, and Sunday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday
yes.
at 8 p.m. And have you had a good response so far?
So far, yes. Yeah. As I said, we gained momentum because of Part 1, and the Haitian community, of course, has rallied and supported us in a way that I hadn't really thought about with the helps of Pierre and Sammy Lay. And because it's such an unknown topic, I mean, the impact of the Haitian Revolution impacted this country in a big way. I mean, the simplest way to explain it is that Napoleon was going to use Haiti as a stepping stone to the Louisiana Territory. Because he lost the island of Haiti because of the revolution, he sold the Louisiana Territory, or who knows, we might be speaking French. Mm-hmm. And this was an obvious large impact, and of course, this country at the time was watching the Haitian Revolution very closely because they did not want that to infect the slaves in this country, or that was going to be a big problem, although George Washington and company sold guns to Toussaint Louverture, to the French, to the English, to the Spanish, much like what happens now.
It's curious because Christoph had fought in the U.S. Revolution I recall, which is amazing. He came up to help Lafayette.
Yes.
But it's wonderful how people can – well, he entered into the spirit of the French Revolution.
Yeah.
And that changed everything.
It changed everything, and it changed his consciousness. And we'll learn that in part three, what his motivations were. We're tracking him in the trilogy, in the spine of the trilogy. He, of the three leaders, of course, lasts the longest. He's in part one, part two, and it culminates with his reign and the building of the citadel, which is, when I was there a couple of months ago, I had an opportunity to visit, which still is occupied by many of the revolutionaries of 200 years ago. Their spirit is still there, and one can sense it.
That's really. I hope that our listeners will be able to see this play, Dessalines. The heart is what it means, and
His name. We call him the heart because of his certain passion.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Blood and liberation.
Blood and liberation. Yes.
And that's Friday and Saturday, 8 p.m., September 6th. It begins September 6th, and for information, call 323-655-4402. I'm just extremely happy to have been able to have with us today Pierre Labossière, the co-founder of the Haiti Action Committee, a Bay Area network of activists who have supported the Haitian struggle, and also to have with us Bennett Guillory, who has worked extensively in theater and film and television for all these years and is now the director of this new play that we hope you'll see from the Roby Theater Company, where he serves as chairman of the board of directors.
And the Greenway Arts Alliance.
And the Greenway Arch Alliance.
Arts Alliance.
Wonderful. And you can reach them at 323-655-4402. Many thanks to both of you, Pierre and Ben.
Oh, thank you, Blaise, for having me.
Surely. Thank you, Blaise. Blaise, can I add something?
Sure.
But I would urge the listening audience to please call their congresspeople and senators to urge support for House Concurrent Resolution 382. And this resolution introduced by the Black Caucus actually demands that the sanctions against Haiti be lifted.
Thanks so much, Pierre. And regarding transcripts of this program or information on the music, please call the Office of the Americas at 323-852-9808, 323-852-9808. Thanks to my engineer, Eben Ray, and to my producer, Lisa Smithline. And thanks for listening to World Focus. This is Blaise Bonpain.
Such a big time show.